This is an explicit podcast meant for those over the age of 18. Any views expressed in this podcast are based solely on our own experiences. This podcast does not constitute as medical or other professional advice. Welcome to Front Porch Swingers, where we talk about sex on our terms.
We talk swinging, hot wifing, BDSM, and so much more in the hopes that we will inspire you to enjoy sex on your terms.
Enjoy the show, everybody. Hey everyone, welcome to Front Porch Swingers. I'm Brenna.
I'm Brian.
So, the first thing we're going to talk about this week, bet you don't know what it is.
It's Cassidy.
Heck yeah, it is. Cassidy.com.
For sure.
Is the fastest growing community of online swingers, and it's the perfect place to connect with like-minded adults in your area. We love Cassidy because it tells us about all of the lifestyle events happening, like our Denver trip, which we'll talk more about very shortly. But you can go to frontportswingers.com and click on either of the Cassidy banners on our page to receive 30 free days of all of the Cassidy services. Check it out for yourself. Make sure that it's the right site for you, and we're confident that it will be. It's a very user-friendly site, has a lot of great people on it, and we just love all the features.
Yeah, we use it pretty much exclusively. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, should we talk about our Denver trip?
Yeah, for sure. We just pretty much finalized everything today, so we're good to go.
I am so excited.
Me too. It's going to be a good time. We've got some really cool shit planned.
Yeah, like we've talked about before, we just love Denver in general. We have some kind of vanilla stuff planned during the days while we're there. But at night, we're going to be doing some really cool lifestyle shit. Yes. So Friday night, April 12th, we are going to be out at a local bar in the Rhino District, which apparently is a really cool art district. I've never been there.
I spent some time there when I was there working for few months last year. It was a good time.
So it looks like there's kind of a conglomeration of awesome bars down there. We will be at one of them, and we have all of the details. We're going to have all of our details available on our community page on Cassidy.com. We are also going to be sending out some invites to some people that we've been in correspondence with in the Denver area for that night. Saturday, April 13th, we are going to go to Scarlet Ranch, which I am pumped for. I've never been, but we hear great things.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. We've got a lot of people that we correspond with in Colorado, Denver, you know, the surrounding Denver area.
Yeah.
People have been listening to us since the beginning. And so we're going to send some invitations to some people specifically. But, you know, like we said, Friday is going to be open to everybody. We're really looking forward to everybody coming out. And then Saturday, we're going to do a little pre-party before we hit the club.
Yes.
And potentially an after party as well.
We got a really cool suite. It's like a two-bedroom suite. It has this big place or a fireplace area.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm really excited for that. So as mentioned, all of the details will be on our Cassidy community page, which is Front Porch Swingers. If you are not on Cassidy, you really should be. But if you're not and you still want to receive the details of all of the events we have going on while we're there, you can email us at mail, M-A-I-L, at frontporchswingers.com. But either way, I mean, it's just going to be fun. This is not going to be any sort of a, you know, high pressure situation. It's just going to be fun, you know, hanging out with like-minded people.
Yeah, that's it. And you're going to set up a kick group.
So we can
give people information through that once they reach out to us.
Yeah, so if you RSVP to any of the events, you'll get into the kick group. You can kind of keep track of what we're doing while we're there. So we just want to make the most of it. We're only there for 3 days, but it's going to be pretty jam-packed with awesome, slutty fun.
Yeah, for sure. We've already got a potential couple we're meeting on Thursday night, the night we actually arrive.
Yep.
So we'll be able to spend some time with them and get to meet them. And then Friday and Saturday is just going to be full court press, just a good time.
Yeah, so if you're in Denver, make sure you check it out.
For sure.
Also, we have some really fun stuff going on social media right now on both Twitter and Instagram at Front Porch Swingers or FP Swingers. I apologize.
Yeah.
And we also have a YouTube page, which we had so many people subscribe to in the last couple of weeks. So thank you guys for that. We are uploading a new video to YouTube tonight.
Yes, we are.
Which is a lube video.
Yes.
And I am really excited about that. That was a really fun one. Mostly fun to, you know, like prepare for.
Well, yeah, I mean, we use a lot of lube, as we intimate on the video, but we had the opportunity to use some brands that we have never used before, and it was a lot of fun. It was cool.
Yeah, he totally had to fuck my ass for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I had to.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
So many adult responsibilities.
Yeah, it's not easy being an adult.
But either way, check out our YouTube video, Front Porch Swingers, our channel, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's great.
Lots more going on there.
Yeah, we've gotten so many more followers on there just in the past few weeks. It's been really very cool.
So that's super fun. And then we also have our Shop From Porch Swingers storefront.
Yeah, that we're going to be adding some items to that we've come across fairly recently. But it's a very cool site, a little over 200 items that we like, most of which we own,
right,
and or have used.
We used the spreader bar from our website this
week. Yeah, we did. And holy shit, that amazing.
You had my legs, so I had ankle restraints on.
Yep. Attached to the spreader bar.
Yes. And then you were fucking me with the spreader bar up over my head almost.
Well, I had your wrists bound.
Yeah.
Attached to your collar.
Yes.
And then attached to the bar.
Holy fuck, it was hot.
Yeah, it was something.
It would really give you a lot of access, I feel which was super hot. And it was the perfect angle while you were fucking me.
Well, yeah, and you were completely incapacitated for the most part. You couldn't move.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, so I just had to lay there and take it.
Yes, and you did very well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It was amazing. Squirted all over me. Hot stuff.
I did. Really learning how to squirt.
Well, what you're doing is you're just really relaxing and not really worrying about it, because now you know what's going to happen. You're not trying to keep it from happening, and it's not an issue.
Well, it's one of those things where I think you just get super in your head about it,
yeah,
as a woman.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe guys have this about other things too, but the idea of squirting is weird.
Well, for some women, I guess they get a little bit insecure about it. You know, they get, you know,
I'm not even sure it's insecurity. I just think it's if you can hold it back, you choose to, type of a thing.
Maybe, but you've gotten to the point where you're just accepting of it, and that's just it.
Yeah, it just happens.
Yeah, and it's a great time. It's a good time.
Do you think most people think it's hot when women squirt, or do you think it's weird?
No, I think it's hot. I don't think, no. I mean, if you ask most guys, you know, I don't think anyone's got a problem with it. I can't imagine.
Well, I'm sure there are guys out there that are oh, she's a squirter, gross.
Oh, maybe, but I don't know if we can be friends.
It's not anyone you want to know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not sure we can hang out, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very hot. Anyway, the spreader bar was a home run. We've got a few more items we're adding to the list, so we'll keep you posted as we start playing with some of those.
Yeah. So what are we talking about this week?
We are talking about Girard.
Girard. Yes. So two episodes ago, we talked about Girard. And
yeah, that was your first encounter.
Our first encounter together. And this is going to be the second. It's really interesting. This will be our third Hot Wife episode in a row.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what we've become known for.
We get a lot of emails. We get a lot of people reaching out to us who are interested in the hot wife kind of lifestyle and the hot wife scenario. Some of those couples are engaged in it. Others are toying with the idea of getting engaged in it. And then a lot of the people that reach out to us they question whether or not they are a cuckold couple or a hot wife couple. And we've had this conversation with many people. We've written blogs about it. I think we had a little bit of that conversation on our podcast. There's a very big difference between the two. And some people don't know in which category they fall. And, you know, we like to help them out with that. They ask us questions about it. And we certainly have our opinion and, you know, our perspective. And yeah, it's an interesting topic. And it intrigues me when people reach out to us, especially when the guys reach out and they ask very specific questions. There's definitely, as I said, a high interest for people, but I still think that some folks struggle with the stigma.
I think so too. Even in the lifestyle, we have talked to people who say, as soon as we come out as a hot wife couple, we get side eyes from other swingers.
Oh, for sure. You know, there's a level of a belief where, you know, a lot of people are, you know, they're purists. They believe that swingers are people who are couples who swap with other couples, you know, exclusively. And there's a place for that, for sure. I mean, we swap with other couples. That's no secret. But the idea that we entertain the idea of you playing with single guys is really where some people just kind of take a left turn on us. They don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, and we've had this conversation face to face with couples who don't play with single men, have thought about it, but have never really pulled the trigger. I don't know whether we've made them turn the corner or not, but certainly after speaking to us, they have a bit of a different perspective on it.
Well, I think that there's a huge market out there of people that are interested in hot wife coupling or hot wife play.
Yeah.
And there's really not a lot of people talking about it.
No, it's
a lot of. I read a lot of blogs, hundreds of blogs a month. Almost none of them talk about hot wifing.
Well, no. And once again, I think there's that belief that hot wifing is the same as cuckolding. And it's simply not. You know, as we have researched and we've done a lot of it and we've spoke to, you know, people that you would consider experts as well in the field, the idea of cuckolding lends itself to some level of humiliation. And that is not the case in the hot wife scenario. And if cuckolding is your thing, shit, man, run, go for it. You know, do
yeah,
it.
I could see how that
you
would
know,
be hot.
I mean, we've had this conversation about one of your old playmates who, you know, wanted you to cage him and wanted to be dominated that way. And,
well, I kind of want to be cucked by you.
Exactly.
Like, what is it called? Cuck queening?
Yeah, exactly.
I love the idea. One of my greatest fantasies, and I really hope it can happen one day, is like you fucking another woman with like me bound.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Exactly.
God, that would be so hot.
Right.
But that's not hot wifing.
No. That's a different situation. And again, anyone who, you know, who has a question about that can certainly reach out to us. We'd be happy to have that conversation. There's a very big difference. And I think there's a little bit of confusion. And I think when some couples, some men particularly, when they think about a hot wife situation, they're automatically drawn to the idea that now they're a cuck. And I think that throws people off.
You know what else is really interesting is I think that people have a really big misconception that if you're into hot wifing, that it's, or, you know, even cuckolding,
yeah,
that it means that the guy is bisexual.
Well, it's not just that. There is a component to that. But I think that the hot wifing slash cuckolding concept lends itself to men believing that they have to be weak or submissive. And that is simply not the case. I don't see where they're not. I mean, everyone thinks that that's an exclusive thing. It's not. You can play in those worlds and not be submissive.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's part of, I think that's a mental thing. You know, the guys particularly have to get their heads around.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's just in general, I think the idea that if you're a, you know, a dominant person and yet yeah. you're allowing your woman to go off and fuck someone else, it's kind of a paradigm for people that they can't really.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, and everybody's different. People have their own, you know, their own reasons for doing things and getting into the lifestyle and into different aspects of the lifestyle. For me, that's not the case. It's not like I allow you to do anything. You can do whatever you want to do. For me. You know,
I'm a strong ass woman.
Yeah. For me, it's the idea that you are empowered to do those things where, you know, I think people misunderstand maybe and probably we should clear it up. When it comes to the hot wifing kind of, you know, relationships, I don't choose these guys for you. I don't give direction other than me.
Although that is something else we've discussed because it's a fantasy for me.
Yeah. And there have been times where you've asked me, you know, what do you want me to do? What don't you want me to do? And you like that direction, but that's a role playing thing with us. The bottom line is you make all those decisions. You determine who it is that you play with. You determine whether or not it's going to be someone that you play with regularly. Like we've had that conversation and for a later podcast where there is that person now in line for you. You've made that decision. We talk about it, of course, but you know, other than my being a support, you know, mechanism for you, you make that decision. So anyone out there who thinks that, you know, you've got to be submissive, listen, I'm the furthest thing from submissive. You know, I'm just super excited that, you know, that you are empowered to the degree that you feel confident to play that way.
Yeah,
you
me
know,
too.
That's
it
the turn on.
It makes
for me.
Me feel very sexy. I will say that it's one of the sexiest things to me to be able to feel like I'm desired by multiple men.
Well, but it changes our intimacy. It really does elevate our intimacy more so than any other scenario to
date.
Oh,
fuck yes, it does.
And I think the largest part of that is that when we are now intimate and we're reliving, or you're reliving those sessions that you have with your playmate, your single guy playmates, and then we're talking about them, you change a little bit. Like your whole, you know, your confidence level goes up. And so it just intensifies, you know, our sex and our intimacy. And that's really the hottest thing for me. So, you know, the idea that you got to be submissive to necessarily be in the hot wife lifestyle is ridiculous. You know, I think honestly, you got to be not just for you being empowered and being a strong woman. You've got to be a very secure man and very confident in your relationship and in yourself.
Well, that submissive men can be confident men.
Well, that's my point. Just because you guys, you know, your gal, your wife, your gal is out there playing with other guys, doesn't make you any less masculine or dominant or whatever. You have to be very much in control of yourself and your own emotions and confident in your relationship with that person to live that lifestyle, to play in this lifestyle. So it doesn't, I mean, I don't want anyone to think that that's the case. You don't have to be weak. It's not like you're a weak person.
No,
you know?
Definitely
I think
not.
Some people think that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like I said, we've become known for this when we've been asked to do interviews now and things like that.
Oh.
We are specifically asked to talk about the hot wifing,
yeah.
Which is so interesting because it's how we started off in this lifestyle.
It is.
But it's not necessarily where we saw ourselves going in this lifestyle. And yet,
no.
it's a lot of our play now.
Yeah, we just did an interview, which will be coming out. They interviewed us. Obviously, they were very interested in you know what we have going on. And a lot of that conversation, which was the better part of an hour and a half, was surrounded by the hot wife lifestyle. Yep. They were very interested because this is not a couple that plays in that world.
Right. And well, they're not a lifestyle couple.
They're not. Sexuality-based podcast, but not swinger lifestyle.
Right.
But they were, you know, they're a couple and they were very intrigued because we have an obvious connection and our chemistry is thus that people kind of, they're kind of taken aback when they find out that that's really what we're into. They don't really see it. And they found it really, really interesting.
So wait, do you think like when we go to bars or anything, people would ever assume that we're swingers or that we're,
well, I mean,
that like we're kinky people?
No, I mean, you know, we were out last night, obviously, and in some places that obviously people know us and, you know, we've been regulars for, you know, before, so people know who we are. I don't think they think that about us. I mean, obviously, we're an age gap couple, so there's that component.
Yeah, and I always have my tits out, and I always have a lot of makeup on. And
well, we're out like everybody else. We're having a good time. We had some drinks.
We're not the norm in our town.
Oh, no. No.
We stand out.
Yeah, not by a long shot. I mean, we've absolutely, people know who we are. Even if they don't.
I'm always in heels. You're always like impeccably dressed.
Yeah, even if they don't know our names necessarily, they certainly recognize us and they interact with us as though they know
who
us.
Who are these pretentious assholes walking in here all dressed up all the time?
Yeah, God forbid. Yeah, we're not in, you know.
We're not in hoodies and Uggs.
Yeah, which is appropriate for where we live. But, you know, sometimes you just get tired of dressing that way.
Yeah.
You know? So, like when we go out, it's different. And we should say, we were going to the adult erotic masquerade ball last night.
I'm so
That's
devastated.
That's what we were doing. Well, once again, we live in a town, in a state, and you know, in an environment of very cold weather. And you know, the elements kind of take over, and a pipe burst.
At the venue.
So it was canceled at the very last minute,
so
about four
sad.
Hours before. Fortunately, a lifestyle couple that we know.
I called you bestie.
Yeah, they
oh
let
my
us
God.
Know. Yeah, the pipe burst and that was it. Fire department was like, nope, you guys are shut down and that's it. So it was canceled. So we were out and we were getting ready to go out anyway. So we were going to be dressed and, you know, you had, you know, in your gown and I was in a suit and
well,
we were going to go
God
do this
thing.
Thank God
I didn't go in my gown.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we found out ahead of time. But we went out and had a great time last night anyway. You know, and, you know, our usual fashion all over each other and, you know, people staring at us and giving us the, you know, the side eye.
When we go out and we're all over each other, we do get stared at quite a bit.
Oh, for sure we do.
I don't give a shit at all.
No, I actually revel in it now.
I kind of do too. I feel like we're kind of putting on a show, like dinner and a show for people. They should tip us or something.
If you're going to stare.
Put out a tip jar.
The least you can do is, you know, pony up.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I don't give a shit where they look, how they look. Now, it used to be like, you know, what the fuck are these people looking at? But after a while, it's like,
now it's
cares?
Amusing.
Yeah, now it's just silly. You know? But yeah, it was a great time. We had a great time. I enjoyed it.
Me too.
Although we did not attend the ball, it was canceled.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll reschedule, but this venue's booked out all year round. I don't know how they're going to fit it in.
Yeah. It's just a bummer either way.
Yeah.
All right. We got to get to Gerard.
Yeah. Listen, this is, there's a lot to unpack with this because this was the second interaction you had with Gerard.
Right.
And as we talked about, when we talked about the first interaction, you know, there was a kind of a moment there where you got, you know, you were a little uncomfortable at the level almost of intimacy that he required.
Yeah. Affection. He was showing me a lot of affection and, you know, I have no problem with, you know, obviously being kissed and being hugged and those types of things, but there's definitely there's an intent behind it that you can feel.
It was the aftermath. It was like after, you know, you had sex. It was that kind of thing that you were a little like, huh, he wants to hug me and kind of hold me and caress me kind of thing. And, you know, that's kind of where things got a little weird. And then, of course, you had this second interaction with him, which, of course, you'll talk about. But it seemed to ramp up a little. And that's where you kind of questioned it.
So let me say this. I've had a lot of time to process this now. And I think I have a little bit different perspective on some things that I said during the last Gerard episode.
Okay.
That I haven't even really unpacked with you. So this will be interesting.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell the story and I'm going to explain that a little bit as we go.
Okay.
So Gerard, as we've mentioned, is your lookalike.
Yeah, he's my doppelganger for sure.
He looks so much like you. Yeah. This exact same age.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he's
within a couple of months.
He's a really cool guy. He's super into fitness. He has a really cool job. I didn't even think a second interaction was going to happen.
Yeah, because he travels a lot.
Because he travels for work for 3 or 4 months at a time. And I thought he was gone.
Yeah.
And he texted me completely out of the blue.
Yeah.
I was at work one day and he said, you know, hey, I'd love to get together with you again if you're interested. And I said, oh, yeah, if you're in town, I, you know, we can probably make that work.
Sure.
And So he wanted me to come over that night. And it was when you were just getting sick.
Yeah, I was in terrible shape.
So this was like a Wednesday and you were just really starting to get sick. And so I said, well, today's probably not going to work. And, you know, maybe not tomorrow either. I want to be home with Brian, but I bet he'll be better by Friday. Of course. I mean, you know, 48 hours from now, he'll be on the mend by then.
Yeah.
So we planned for Friday. You were not better.
No, as it turned out, I was sick for like 5 days.
Well, and I felt really bad because to me, it was like, this is supposed to be a fun time for us. It's supposed to be a sexy kind of experience. And it wasn't
Well, to my
sexy
credit, I did
you.
Drag my ass off the couch and shave and shower and got myself all cleaned up. And I was kind of pumped and motivated for you to come home. And we had some fucking crazy hot sex afterwards. And then I basically died.
Yeah. Then it was like you didn't leave the couch again for another 2 days.
Yeah, I was done. Yeah, you had zapped all my energy. My immune system was just for shit. And for 2 days, I basically laid on the couch and drank tea.
Yeah, I seriously considered canceling because to me, I don't want this to be something where it's like, you know, I'm taking myself away from you being sick. Well, and then I come home and it's not a sexy experience because you're sick.
Well, you wanted to cancel. I wouldn't let you. A, because I didn't want you necessarily having to wait on me hand and foot. And when I'm sick, which happens like once every 5 years, I get really sick and I get shitty and miserable and don't really want anyone around me. Yeah, because I'm a big, super big fucking baby. So it was just better if you got out of the house and got some fresh air.
Yeah. So I did end up going. He asked me to pack a bag of toys.
Yeah.
And so I did. We didn't end up using any of them, but I did take my whole backpack full of slutty shit with me.
Sure.
And I went to his house and got there, went into his home, and he was standing there waiting for me with a glass of water. And we sat and talked for a while.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it was a long time. You actually, that date was long.
It was.
I took DayQuil. I didn't take NyQuil because I knew you were coming home. But you were gone for, I mean, it was probably 4 hours.
No.
Maybe more?
No, not that long. Jeez, how much NyQuil did you take?
I don't remember.
It was like 2.5 hours.
I thought it was longer than that. No. Maybe it was just because I was so sick, I lost track of time.
So out of it. So it's been 4 hours.
Yeah, I don't even know.
No. But we did sit and talk for quite a while before anything happened. We sat and here's my whole thing. I've talked about this many times, but I really like to get to know people, not only because it ramps up my attraction to them if I have kind of a mental connection with them, but also because I just find people fascinating and I want to hear their stories.
Right.
And so I heard a lot of his story during this time. He was talking to me a lot about some of the Tinder dates he'd been on.
Yeah, you're telling me.
And there's just so much going on in this guy's life right now. I honestly probably shouldn't have played with him that night.
Right.
Kind of looking back on it. Because I think he's at a really emotionally weighty time in his life.
Well, it's interesting because this is the second time now you have run into this. We have run into this. And what's really interesting to me is that the two guys, Gerard being one, the two guys that you kind of interacted with that have similar backgrounds and similar kind of relationship histories, they're the same age.
Yep.
They are, I mean, it's basically the same guy.
Basically.
Right? They looked alike. They look alike. They sound
alike.
They're
both super fit. They're both super interesting, cool guys.
Yeah. I mean, these two guys are, they could be the same person.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea that they're both experiencing the same difficulties in their relationships or in their personal lives.
You're referring to Derek.
Yeah. Derek and Gerard. I mean, both, you know, listen, two very cool guys. Attractive guys. I mean, I'm not just saying it because they look like me. You know, they're they're fit, they're attractive, they're my age or just about, you know, mid-40s. Of course, I'm not mid-40s anymore, unfortunately, but we're, you know, they're in that age range. And it's interesting because they both have the same story. They are specifically, they're looking for something specific. They know what they want, but they settle for anything but that.
Right.
And then they talk about how miserable their relationships have been.
To be fair, you did that for a long time.
I did it forever.
So, but why?
I don't know. And that's the part that's so intriguing to me because it seems like guys of that age, I guess, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe that's when you realize like there's an awareness that you have that you didn't have before, an awakening, and you realize, wow, this is what I want. This is what I absolutely don't want. But I'm so accustomed to not having what I want. I'm just going to settle for what's available instead of, you know, doing finally what I did, right? When I found you, you and I became, you know, we're fortunate enough to come across each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's really when it completely changed for me. Right. You know, and until you make that conscious decision to do that, I mean, these guys are going to keep it's a revolving door. It's going to be the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. So specifically with Gerard, though, he was involved with a married woman that he had no idea was married for 3 years.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
We talked a lot about that. And I didn't mean to be shitty with him, but, you know, my question was, how the fuck does that happen? Like, how do you have a relationship with someone for 3 years and have no idea that they're married? And not just that, it wasn't that she was married and like separated and not with the guy. She was still living with her husband.
Right. Well, listen, like, that lends itself to a relationship that, while, you know, there's a time component there, you've been together in air quotes 3 years. What do you really know about this person?
Yeah.
That relationship to me, or a relationship like that, to me seems very superficial. Because if you don't have the slightest fucking idea that this woman was married, you never went to her home, you don't know where she lives. I mean, how...
For 3 years.
Yeah, how does that even... So that relationship really isn't a relationship in the traditional sense. It's kind of like a superficial convenience thing, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's a relationship on paper. That type, you know what I mean? Like, how does that, like, there's no substance.
Right.
You know, there are no levels to that relationship.
Yep.
You know?
And he did say that, you know, he said that it was a very kind of surface level relationship, that it was a lot about sex, even though it wasn't good sex, according to him. And
well, this is probably a woman who's in a relationship, obviously a marriage, which is unfulfilling for her, which is why she sought out Gerard or someone else. And so what she was lacking at home, she was getting from him, but he wasn't the beneficiary of anything else.
No.
You know, it was a sexual thing and that was it. Although he had in his mind, I guess, built up that they were in a relationship, and he was trying to convince himself that this was going to be a fulfilling relationship.
Right.
Which, as it turns out, was not.
So that was his last serious relationship. And since then, he's dated pretty, you know, kind of sporadically, nothing serious. He hasn't been able to, you know, really give himself to anyone else. And he claims it's because he's so heartbroken over this woman that he was with for 3 years. I think there's something more to it than that. I think that he has, I think he's very scared to find something real.
Well, he's also, I mean, it's got to be frustrating, right? I mean, there's got to be some level of frustration there where it's like, you know, how many times am I going to go through this? You know, what is it going to take? You know, what do I have to do to find what I'm looking for? You know, and the answer is, unfortunately, it's difficult, and it's simple and it's difficult, right? You've got to forget everything that you know from before. You've got to forget everything that's happened before and everything that you're used to and accustomed to and comfortable with.
Right.
And you got to get out of your comfort zone. You know, it's like anything else. If you want to get really good at something, you got to get real fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And if you want to be, you know, if you want to succeed at something, at relationship, whatever, you've got to put yourself in a situation where there is discomfort. You've got to get out of that rut. And until he's fully prepared to do that, you know, unfortunately, it's going to be a lot of this, you know, repetitive shit.
Well, I also think that he has some shit going on that he's not really prepared to fix. So, for example, he has a decent career here, and yet he is off traveling 3 or 4 months at a time. To me, it's like, he says he's almost 50 years old. He says he wants children and he wants to really settle down. You can't really do that when you're gone for 4 months out of a year.
Well, it's also a component where I think part of the reason he travels, and as you said, he doesn't have to. I mean, you know, based on what he does very well with it here, you know, locally. He could do that here, but then what happens? He's here, and then he has no excuse for not having a solid relationship or finding what he's looking for. The idea that he travels and isn't, you know, in one particular place for any great length of time, 3-4 months at a time, that's an excuse, right? Oh, well, I'm not going to find what I'm looking for because I'm not around, so I'm just going to settle for this. And that's an easy way out. And that's how it makes him feel better to think that that's the reason. Like, oh, well, you know, this isn't going to work. I'm not around enough. My lifestyle doesn't allow for this. It won't permit it. So I'm just going to kind of deal with the status quo. Unfortunately, that's not going to work.
Okay, we're also going to talk about something that might be a little bit controversial on the podcast because people have very distinct feelings about it.
Okay.
He told me that right before we had sex that night, he told me that that would be the second time ever, the first time with me and the second time with me, that he had not been high having sex.
Yeah, I found that interesting. When you told me that, I was very surprised by that. He does not come off to I mean, I had a really great conversation with him the first night we met. I did not get the impression that he was a guy that really, I just didn't get that. I didn't get that vibe from him. I just thought he was just, you know, pretty much like me, you know.
I don't think smoking weed makes you not
but it wasn't
a normal dude.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It didn't become part of our conversation. And the idea that he's never had sex when he wasn't high, you would have thought that that's a conversation that maybe would have, that that's a topic that would have come up in our conversation. Like maybe it's something he would have discussed with you, at minimum. And he didn't, which I find interesting.
Yeah, I just think in general, I mean, that was a little bit jarring to me. And once again, it was one of those things where I thought in that moment, like, maybe you got some shit going on and maybe we shouldn't really move forward tonight.
Yeah, it's a bit of a red flag for sure. Although, you know, I mean, you could also look at it complimentary. You know, the idea that he really enjoys your company enough that he doesn't need, you know, mind-altering drugs. Like, he really enjoys the moment.
I looked at it as a little bit different, which is that he didn't feel as much pressure with me because he knows that, right. Like, I looked at it as he's not as concerned.
Well, there's no, like you said, I mean, very simply, there's no pressure. You know, it's not like you're going to be spending the night and you're someone who's going to be waking up with him in the morning and then going through the whole process the next day. You're leaving.
Right.
You know, and he can, I guess, relax and be himself in that moment.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
And not have to alter his state simply, you know, to get himself through it.
Right.
You know, and the truth is, I think he was looking forward to you, to seeing you, and was comfortable enough with you that he didn't need it.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is, I mean, again, there's definitely some stuff there he's got to work on, I guess, you know, for himself. But there's something complimentary about it.
All right. So I'm going to get to the sexy shit now.
Yeah.
So we talked for a long time. And like I said, I was concerned, but I mean, I'm kind of into him physically. And by kind of, I mean super into him.
Right.
Like, he's very sexy.
Yeah.
And so I know that's really, like, shallow, but I still was like, I kind of want to fuck this guy, even though I'm kind of concerned about some of the shit he's saying.
Sure.
So I did.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know. You know, we've talked about it since, and of course we'll open that up here on the podcast. But you know, you've made some decisions in regards to that, and you've come up with some ideas of how to move forward in regards to him. I mean, you were super horned up, and you know, you wanted to get laid.
And to be fair, you were super sick, so I was like, "Yeah."
Yeah, I was not doing well.
Yeah. So anyway, we started making out on his couch. We moved into his bedroom. I wanted him pretty badly, so I didn't do the whole teasing thing like I did the first time with Gerard. Right. That was really fun the first time. You should go back and listen to that part of the episode if you haven't already.
Yeah, it was very hot.
But this time I just came in. I didn't even have any lingerie or anything on.
No, you just had a bag of toys.
I did have a bag of toys, but like I said, we didn't even open the bag.
Well, you didn't give it a chance. You just jumped on him.
I pretty much did.
Yeah.
I started sucking his cock, and he was very animated with me. He was really putting his fingers in my hair and kind of gripping down on my hair while I was sucking his cock.
More so than the first time?
Yeah. More comfortable the second time? I think he was just very much more comfortable with me this time. Yeah. So it was a lot of touching and a lot of animation, and I really liked that. I felt like he was very comfortable and, you know, being kind of his true sexual self,
right,
which was fun. So I sucked his cock for quite a while, and then he went down on me. And this is something else I really liked. He learned from the first time. Like I said, the first time I was with Gerard, I gave him a lot of instruction on exactly
You said he took well.
He took it well the first time, but the second time, it was like he remembered what I liked.
Sure, yeah.
Even though it was probably 6 weeks apart, maybe even longer.
Sure.
So that was kind of nice to me. It was like, okay, this guy gets it. He understands what I like. And he, you know, really took to heart what I was telling him.
He's genuinely paying attention.
Yeah. So that was great. He made me come a few times. And then we started fucking. And
you're on your back? You're on all fours?
What was I think I rode him first.
Oh, right.
And he had his hands on my ass and was grabbing. And
which you love.
I do. And what I really liked is I was telling him what to do. And there was no cautiousness this time. It was a very deliberate motion. Like, he grabbed onto my ass, really grabbed it, and it was like kind of, you know, bouncing along with me while I was riding his cock, and right, that was fantastic.
Right.
And once again made me come a ton of times.
Right.
And then he got on top of me and started fucking me, and this was kind of the first red flag moment. So he's fucking me and he's like kissing on my neck.
Right.
And he whispers in my ear that I'm the most beautiful woman that he's ever fucked. Not sexy,
beautiful.
not you know,
hot
or, oh, you're, you know, nothing about my pussy or anything. It was, you're the most beautiful woman. And it was like, in that moment, he became softer with me.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, ah, fuck. Like, what's going on here? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I don't know if I should have thought that that was as much of a big deal as I did, but it just kind of caught me off guard and I really didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, it's almost, it's like an aha moment, almost like, uh-oh, you know, like what?
Yeah, like yeah. I should have felt complimentary, like I was being complimented, yeah. And I did to some degree, but there was also a part of me that I felt it, like a shift in my mindset.
Well, was it simply that you, I mean, listen, it is a compliment, obviously. A great compliment. But is it also that you kind of felt like to some degree that this was disingenuous, like you were taking advantage of a guy who simply wasn't really fully prepared for the relationship at where you were in this, like what this relationship really was?
Sort of. I also think it was just that I was very concerned about his mental state.
Right.
An emotional state. When I was talking to him before we started having sex, like I said, I got this sense that he was in a really weird place mentally. And I think that bled through into the sexual interaction, and it wasn't until that exact moment that things just shifted.
Right.
And it was like, and everything changed in that moment because I all of a sudden became concerned, and so I wasn't really as much into the moment.
Right.
And
well, now you're in your own head again. Now you're thinking, oh man, this has gone from, you know, a very hot sexual encounter with a guy I'm super attracted to potentially a guy whose feelings are going to get hurt. When it sinks in that this is all this is.
Right. And here's the thing. I don't even think he really likes me. Like, I don't think that's what this is. I think he just wants someone there. He wants someone,
yeah,
he wants to feel a certain level of connection with someone. That's the sense that I get.
Sure.
It's not like he's like, oh, Bren is so amazing, I just need her here all the time, or, you know, I think she's the most beautiful woman in the world. Probably didn't even fucking mean that. Like, it just
came out.
It just, yeah, he wanted to feel connected to somebody.
Right.
And I get it. I've been there at times in my life too.
Right.
But like I said during the last Gerard episode, I'm not that person. I can't be that person.
Right.
I can be fun. I can be sexy. I can be adventurous. I can be a lot of things, but I can't be emotionally available to someone.
Right.
So it changed everything.
Sure.
And, you know, we continued to have sex, but like I said, it became softer. And all of a sudden he was like, you know, like really rubbing sensually on my neck and my
right.
shoulder while he's fucking me. And it's, you know, it's
so
no longer.
So he's on top of you at this point.
Yeah. And it's no longer like hard, rough, you know, right. sexy fucking. It's like this almost like lovemaking. Like
right.
the few times that you make yeah. love to me, it's not really our, you know, recipe.
Well,
normally,
we start out like we have the best of intentions. Yeah. We start out that way.
Can you make love to me tonight? Oh, yeah, sure. And then 3 minutes in, we're like rough fucking like crazy.
Well, yeah, then you wind up fucking you in your ass. And that's not exactly most people's, you know, definition of lovemaking.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Me choking on your cock.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, your eyes
I mean,
are watering, mascara
nice things
running.
To me.
I'm trying. You know, there's a balance, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I could see where that would get a little, you know, that could get a little weird, you know. So
well, yeah.
So he's on top of you. Now it's gotten to a point where it's a little bit softer. Where does it go from there?
So I think he could kind of tell that I was a little bit weirded out isn't the right word, but just a little bit taken aback by the whole situation. And so he stopped.
Well, there's a shift. Obviously, you can tell.
Yeah, he stopped and he asked if I wanted him to go down on me, and I said sure. So he went down on me for a little bit longer, and then I went down on him for a little bit longer. Once again, great oral. And I thought to myself, okay, we're getting back in the groove here. Everything's going well. This is
right.
great. And then he asked if he could fuck me again, and I said sure. So he wanted to fuck me from behind, and I thought, okay, this is perfect because
yeah.
he's not going to be giving me eye contact,
right.
and he can't like sensuously rub on my neck or anything
right.
like that. So we're not going back down that road, which is great.
Right.
But it quickly turned into that again because I asked him to spank me, and he did spank me once, and then all of a sudden it was like rubbing on my ass,
right.
like really slow.
So he's not like he's not really like thrusting hard or
no.
you know, really trying to, you know, penetrate you deep or any of that stuff. It's more of a sensual
which
thing.
Which is, I mean, it's fine, but you can just tell, you can sense a mood while you're having sex. It's one of the things I love about sex more than anything is you get all of these feelings and
yeah.
all of these vibes in the air
yeah.
without anything being said.
Right.
Just via, you know, the energies that are being transferred back and forth.
Well, it's the most primal, visceral thing that we do. You know, it's innate in all of us, regardless of the type of sex.
Right.
It's just innate in us. So the truth is, I think it's a lot. It's like truth serum, right? It's like when people drink, the truth comes out.
Yes.
Right?
And it's during like you strip sex, away everything, all the bullshit, and you're just left with your true self during sex.
During sex, I think a lot of that, the outer layers are just removed. And then it's just this primal, visceral, you know, act.
You are who you are at your truest form.
For sure.
And absolutely. And that's what I love so much about it. But it can also be something that is so... it can be off-putting.
Well, yeah, and you can tell in a situation like this where, you know, the first interaction that you had with him was more of that full-on, you know, primal kind of sexual activity, but very quickly it turned into him kind of being a little bit softer with you, and that tells me that that's the true him. You know, that's where he wants to be. He doesn't want to be in the space where he's pulling your hair and slapping your ass and choking you.
Well, that's...
You know, he wants that softness.
That's what I was going to say is I talked in the first Gerard episode about how I thought, because he talked about, oh, I watch a lot of bondage porn and he fucked me really hard and deep and all this stuff. I don't think that's who he is. I think I get the feeling more and more as I'm around him more, as I communicate with him more, as I have sex with him more, that he is somebody who wants to be happy and wants to be fulfilled so badly that he will portray himself to be whatever he thinks the other person wants him to be.
Yeah, whatever he thinks is necessary, or whatever he thinks you want to hear.
And when he dropped that guard and was just himself with me, it became soft and sensual and, you know, all of these things that I really didn't feel comfortable with.
Well, and no truer obvious point is he asked you to bring a bag full of toys.
Yeah.
You didn't use any of them. He didn't ask you to.
No. In fact, I went into his bedroom and opened them and like kind of set them out so you could kind of see. Not like took them all out, but just like opened the bag.
Yeah.
So it was like they were visible to him. He didn't even touch them.
Right. So the idea that he told you to do that was really kind of to, I don't want to say it was to drop your guard, but it was to let you know that he was open to that. And that's kind of where he wanted you to believe his head was. But the truth is, he didn't engage in that play whatsoever. Didn't talk to you about it. It never came up again.
Right.
You know, instead it went the other direction.
Right.
You know, which tells me that that's kind of where he wants to be, and that's fine, but it's not necessarily for you.
Yeah, it's maybe just not a good fit for me. It's and I do still think that there's a part of him that needs a little bit more than what I can provide. So
for sure,
you know, he's fucking me from behind. He did make me come, even though I was really kind of in my head about the whole thing.
Right.
And then he came, and then we stopped, and we were, you know, just kind of laying there. And the other thing I have kind of had time to digest after I talked about this, and I've actually talked about it with a little bit with Fred Freddy, who's somebody that we talked about on the podcast before. He and I were kind of texting back and forth about that episode. And, you know, he made a really good point, which is he said, you know, I take women out on dates and I have intimate moments with them and I, you know, kiss them and caress them after we've been together. That doesn't mean that I need anything more from them, but I make that very clear to them.
Right.
And, you know, ever since he said that, I've really been thinking about that in terms of how everything went with Gerard. And I think it's just a conversation that needs to happen. I'm not sure where he's at, but either way, I'm uncomfortable with it.
Well, you're uncomfortable with it because there's an uncertainty there. So I think you need to have that, as we talked about. Your intention, of course, is to see him again potentially, but to have a conversation about what that looks like.
Right.
You know, and it's important that you open up that line of conversation with him, because he's probably going to be a little more hesitant to do so. You really have to be clear as to how you felt about it.
Yeah.
So when after you guys were through and you were laying there, what was that like? Was there another, you know, was there a softer component? Was there the attempt at more intimacy on his part? I mean, how did that go?
Yeah. And I mean, and there was just some, you know, some things that we were talking about. You know, he said something about, we got on the subject of you. And he said something about, I hope Brian knows how lucky he is. And, you know, that just, you know, what you guys have, I don't think you understand how rare it is. And, you know, I said,
yeah, we do.
We get that. We understand how rare it is. And he goes, no, I mean, just, you know, the way that you guys connect with each other is, I'm not even talking about from a sexual perspective, just the way that you connect with each other. People don't find that in a lifetime. And, you know, then I went back into this conversation of, well, you can find that. You just have to go about it in the right way.
And it took me a lifetime.
But I mean, it was just a lot of that kind of stuff. And that's what made me think, okay, I don't think it has anything to do with me.
No. This is an internal thing with him, but it's important that, I think it's important that you make clear to him that you're aware of it and how it makes you feel, and you don't want him to feel bad. You know, yeah. You don't want there to be something that he's lacking in this whole thing. I mean, it's in fairness to him and his emotional well-being.
It is, but it's also what I need.
Yeah.
What I need out of a play partner is a certain level of understanding.
Well, yeah, that's the whole that's,
of a boundary that exists.
That's the biggest part of it, and of course, in episodes to come, we will talk more about it. But we, you know, you've been playing with someone else now, and will be very soon again seeing that person. And we, you know, we want to. You think that this is the person you want to be your regular playmate. And so that's a conversation you plan on having with him. And the dynamic between you and he and the dynamic between yourself and Gerard is very different.
Yes.
So it's obvious to me that, and it's Clint, so we've talked about him before, you know, that the connection between the two of you, and from my perspective, is far more, it's closer to what you're looking for by far.
Yeah, it's just more appropriate to our dynamic and what it is will fit into our world too.
For sure, but more importantly for me than even that is your level of comfort, and you're certainly more comfortable with the type of relationship that you formed with him than the type of relationship sexually that you formed with Gerard, because there's an understanding there.
Right.
A very clear understanding from a person being Clint, who gets it, who's lived it, who is very proficient in the lifestyle. And so there's an understanding that I don't think you're going to get with Gerard.
To be fair, too, I had that conversation with Clint up front before Correct. He and I even played.
As did he and I.
And that's not something that Gerard and I ever talked about. And once again, another right. thing that we have learned along the way,
yeah.
this is probably a conversation that should happen before clothes ever come off.
Well, I think there's unfortunately, up to this point, I think there was kind of a maybe an understanding or a misunderstanding on our part where we just assumed foolishly that a single guy getting into this type of scenario with a woman in a committed relationship had that understanding. And that's
or even more so than that they wanted the no strings attached thing and they didn't want to have to feel any sort of like emotional weight.
Well, yes, but more than that, because I do think that Gerard understood that obviously up front. He understood that, but wasn't necessarily emotionally prepared for what that was going to make him feel like.
So
that's a conversation potentially should take place.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, the last Gerard episode, I don't want to make anyone feel bad. And, you know, I have a feeling that this thing has run its course. I don't want to say I would never play with him again, but
right.
I have my concerns and my reservations that I'm not sure are just going to go away even after a conversation with
right.
him. Because the thing about me sexually is as soon as I get this idea in my head, it's going to just eat at me and
sure.
it's not going to allow me to open myself up sexually to someone again.
Well, no. And that's it's going to be lingering in the back of your mind. And the truth is, depending on how your next play date goes with Clint, you know, there's a good possibility that he could be your regular playmate, in which case that basically means that you'll be playing with him as a single guy exclusively. While we, of course, still entertain couples, but he'll be basically your single guy playmate.
Well, it's all the fucking time I have time for.
And schedule wise, it seems to work out well.
Yeah, because he's off on the same days as me. But yeah, I mean, I don't have time to play with multiple people.
No, we
between
don't,
all yeah. of the podcast shit and work and you, like, when would I have?
Yeah, we just don't have that much time. And as a matter of fact, we will be looking at our Cassidy page tonight. Reaching out to some folks who have reached out to us and tried to determine who we, you know, really want to meet. And we don't want to waste anybody's time because there are some couples out there that want to meet us and, you know, we want to meet them. But we need to narrow that down so we can plan and set up dates and all that stuff because our schedules are just getting crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
So anyway, it was hot. You came home. I was on my deathbed.
You somehow managed
But I took a shower. I shaved. I cleaned myself up.
I don't think you did take a shower.
Oh, I absolutely did.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%. I shaved everything. Waited for you, and we had some super hot sex.
I was actually really surprised at how much energy you were able to muster for that sex.
You had all of my energy.
It was very sexy, and we had sex for quite a while, and I remember thinking to myself, like, oh God, like, he really should be in bed right now, and instead he's like fucking me like crazy.
And then I passed out for about 12 hours.
Yeah, I did.
And was very sick the day after, so it was well worth it.
It was. Aw, yeah. That's so nice.
Well worth it. Yeah.
That's how I know you love me. You're willing to still fuck me like crazy, even though you're like nearing pneumonia or something.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I had like 106 fever or some shit. Anyway, it was super hot, and I was happy that you would. You had a good time. You enjoyed yourself. We didn't talk about this that night.
No,
because I don't think I could have absorbed it all the way I was feeling. And of course, when you come home from an interaction or we've played with a couple, when we get back together, that is just so hot. And
it's about sex in that moment. I don't want to necessarily taint, the hotness with talking about this type of stuff.
Well, we don't talk about anything. You come home, I'm in the bedroom waiting for you because you tell me when you're on your way, and there's little conversation.
Yeah.
Because we're just so all over each other so quickly, and it's so visceral and hot. And then from that point on, I was dead to the world.
Yeah.
After that. So it wasn't until the next day that we really even talked about this at any length. But yeah, it was a very good time, for me afterwards, obviously, and for you. But if it's not a situation that works, then, it's not a situation that works. We don't ever, like you said, want to make anybody feel like they're not getting what they need. This needs to be mutually beneficial. It's three ways.
Yeah. So maybe more to come on, Gerard. Maybe not. I don't know.
We'll keep you posted.
We'll let you guys know. You'll be the first ones to know aside from each other.
For sure. Gerard, so. There will very likely be another Clint interaction, and we'll have a lot more information on that. We'll see how that goes. We're hopeful that that's going to work out to the way you want it to. It'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a favor to ask of our listeners.
Sure.
Which is, if you enjoy the show, if you would please give us a rating on either Podbean or iTunes and subscribe to us there, we would absolutely love you for it. It gives us the ability to be a little bit more visible to people looking for swinger lifestyle podcasts.
Yeah.
And so we would greatly appreciate you taking, 10 seconds to do so.
Yeah. And the truth is we're not going to bore people and wear people out on social media with, all the progress that we've made in less than 6 months, which is what we're at, or less than 6 months. The podcast has done amazing things, primarily due to the listenership. The listeners have been great to us, and things are moving in the right direction. We've got a lot of things planned for this next year.
Yeah.
Lots of events. We talked about this. We talked about the events that take place in the summer, like the Naughty New Orleans kind of thing. The truth is, we live in the most beautiful place on earth, particularly during the summer months.
Yes.
And we don't leave home in the summer.
We don't leave this place in the summer. It is paradise.
Yeah, you just don't.
You will probably never find us at a lifestyle event in June, July, or August.
No.
It just isn't going to
happen. Well, first of all, it's our professional busy season.
Yeah.
The busiest season of the year.
But I also want to be on the river.
But it's, yeah.
Or in the mountains.
Yeah, this is the time of year where, that's the time of year where we, we live where we live. Everyone lives where we live.
For the summer.
We put up with the winter to get to the summer.
Yeah.
And it's the most beautiful place in the world. So
you will not hear about Naughty New Orleans on this podcast.
Our last trip out of town will probably be April, at the very latest, the early part of May, the first week maybe of May.
Once Memorial Day hits. Because once Memorial Day hits. Patio season, floating season.
And then after that, we won't travel again until September.
Yep.
Because the summer, there is no place else to be.
Exactly.
So, fortunately, we won't be able to make
it. Sorry to disappoint. We've had lots of people asking, are you guys going
Everyone
to Naughty New Orleans?
Everyone has asked us. And, we were going to be part of the podcast group and all that stuff. And we'd love to do it. And we will eventually do something like that with everybody else in the space, which, we really are looking forward to. But in the summer,
I'd love to meet people, just not June, July, or August.
Listen, anybody want, we can put some feelers out there, some private messages. You want to come to us in the summer? We highly recommend
it. We'll totally put something together.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. 100%. I can assure anyone listening and any of our podcast space friends, if you want to reach out to us, we'll tell you kind of where we are, and we'll send you some of the most amazing pictures of where we live. But during the summer, we're not going to New Orleans.
No way.
We live in the best possible place in the world for the summer.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
If you're anything like us, when we first started swinging, we really had no idea where to begin. And it can be really intimidating. And we have a great recommendation for you, which is to join Cassidy.com. Cassidy is a huge online platform that includes so many sexy swingers in your area, plus lots of local events to keep you up to date on all things lifestyle. And if you join Cassidy, you can find our community, Front Porch Swingers, and keep up with everything we are doing as well. So make sure you check out Cassidy.com today.